It's time for the Apple Watchcast. There's so much to talk about. Apple Fitness Plus is released, updates for all of Apple's operating systems, Apple's Ring in the New Year challenge, the cost of owning everything from Apple, and the problem with Apple adapters, plus reviews of the new AirPods Max headphones, Apple Fitness Plus, and Apple One subscription. This and so much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 359, recorded Wednesday, December 16th, 2020. Sell everything else, buy these.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Ho, ho, ho.
Already, okay. Well, next week, right? Yeah, we're very close.
It's too late to order anything now.
It is. If you wanted to, it's, the sleigh has left the building. Also joining us is Chris. Welcome back to the show, Chris.
Thanks, Tom. If you're in the Northeast United States, just be safe. I think they're having a little bit of snow today and tomorrow.
I was saying before the show, Chris and Vincent, I think that they're getting what we had this past weekend, which was we got a ton of rain and wind. It was a cold front coming through, but the wind was incredible. Big gusts of wind and just really, really. And I bet that's probably what's finally gotten to that part. And when it gets up there, it's snow. It's not just rain. So,
well, you know, you should Google Cleveland, Ohio winter of 1978. I'm just going to stop there. That's what I went through when I was a young kid.
Okay.
And walked to school every day because our parents didn't drive you. Google Cleveland winter 1978 and just go with it.
The blizzard of 78 is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have one of those stories.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That was the worst winter in the history of winters.
I have to say, I'm kind of out of breath because – this has been quite a week for Apple. And as you know, I mark stories as I see them, things to talk about on the show. Mm-hmm. And it started piling up and piling up and piling up. I know we're only one day, you know, removed here from our normal time, but most of these are already there. It's just, we haven't seen a list like this of stories since, you know, we started this thing when there was tons of news about the Apple Watch. But Apple, what happened this week? We had new AirPods Max, they shipped. Apple Fitness Plus was released. OS updates across the board, every single device. There is so much to talk about this episode. It's going to go long. I'm just warning everybody right now. It's going to be a long one. But I want to start off here with, at least one quick listener feedback, because I keep forgetting to do that. Later in the show, we definitely won't have time, so I'm going to do it right up front. This is from John. John says, he's talking about the watch face is changing by location. He says, I have tried to do this through shortcuts, but can't seem to get it to work. I've Googled it, but I just don't seem to be doing something right. Do any of you have a shortcut set up to change your watch face? And I know, Chris, you do, because you talked about this before. He says, I have a QR code that is used to punch a clock at work and created a watch face that uses it. That's pretty cool. But I want it to switch, you know, automatically when I arrive at work. Well, thank you for your email, John. And Chris, I think you may have a suggestion for him as to what might be happening.
Yeah, I Now, this is location, not necessarily time, but I think it's the same thing applies.
Okay.
When I set mine up, I was noticing they weren't changing. And I said, well, this doesn't work. And then I Googled it, and in big letters it said, make sure you select auto change. There is a setting in there, and I haven't done it in a month, so I can't remember exactly, but it's buried in there, and it's a toggle. And when you set up the watch face to change on location or time, you have to give it permission to automatically change, else it'll not change. Now, what it says it will do if you don't have it on auto is send you a notification that you can accept. So that may be the issue. Maybe he's missing the notifications and he hasn't set up the auto. But that's the first thing I would go check and make sure it's set to auto.
Right. Well, that's something to try at least, to see if the issue. I haven't set any of these up yet. Again, it's something I keep meaning to do maybe over this holiday break. Listen to me, there's no real break, but I will attempt to do that because I still want to see how that whole process goes. Anyway, thank you for your email, John. I hope that helps. We've got a ton of stories. How do you want to dig into these stories? You want to go by chronological, the order they came in, or do you want to start with the bigger ones first?
Let's go with the big ones.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, because they're kind of themes. There's a couple you can put together as themes, I think. So, yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Well, let's start with it shouldn't have taken me by surprise, but it kind of did. Because now it makes sense that you would need iOS updates for all this stuff coming, right?
Right.
But
all the fitness stuff.
Oh, everything for the the AirPods Max as well. So what happened was Apple released, let's start with the phone, iOS 14.3 for the phone with support for AirPods Max, Fitness Plus, and finally Pro Raw for the iPhone 12 Pro. So that was released. And by the way, have you guys updated your devices?
Yep, last night.
Okay.
Same here. Yes.
Perfect. Yeah, I think I've hit all of them. My second watch may not be up to date, or it may have done it automatically. I'm not sure. I need to check that. But anyway, part of this was for Fitness Plus, which I think, Chris, you're going to get into for your what you like this week. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And part of this was for AirPods Max, which I'm going to get into for what I like this week, and also support for this camera or Pro Raw, I guess, format, which they say if you when you update to 14.3, you have to enable it through the settings app under the camera section, but they warn you when you turn it on that each file in the Pro Raw format will be approximately 25 megabytes in size.
Mm-hmm. So two pictures.
That's a
wow. Yeah.
That's a lot of data. That's a whole lot of data. So basically I think what it's doing is it's giving you, I think Apple's tweaking the phone as it kind of normally would, but is also giving you all the data so you can, after the fact, tweak everything else. Right. Color, white balance, everything you want to more degree than what you would normally have. So that's available now. I haven't tried it out. I will. And I'll report back and kind of give a review on that to see, because I've been waiting for this as well. There's just too much stuff. We just don't have enough time to go through all this yet. And also supports recording video at 25 frames per second and the ability to mirror the front-facing camera for still photos on the, big list here, iPhone 6S, SE 7, 7 Plus, 8, 8 Plus, and 10. So that's, and then finally the support for Apple Fitness Plus. So basically I think all of these updates were to support that because Apple TV got updated, everything got updated for that. Which is great.
The phone update took a while. It seemed like it took a while for me.
Did it?
Yeah. Now I'm on a different internet than usual. I'm on a little slower internet because I'm not at home, but maybe that was it. But it just seemed to take longer.
Or time when you did it and where you are in the country. That has an effect too. If everybody's trying to do it all at once, then probably going to slow you down. So but the other thing that was updated here, obviously, is watchOS 7.2. is again giving you Apple Fitness Plus and new cardio fitness notifications. This is pretty interesting. So now you can view your cardio fitness level in the health app on the phone, and you can get a notification on your Apple Watch if it falls within a low range.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and I looked at it real quick, and I tapped, you know, I knew what it was this week. It was below normal. not low, but below normal, because I haven't been doing anything, really. And but then I tapped on for the year. And, wow, I could see this perfect arc of intense workout cardio during the summer, and then lately just been dropping off and dipping to the lowest point it's been all year.
Yeah. You were rocking this summer, and then you just fell off the bandwagon.
Yeah, completely fell off. But it's interesting to see that. And I turned on the notification, so if it goes too low, they'll let me know. But hopefully with this new Fitness Plus, I'll be motivated to get back into more cardio work here.
Oh, Lord, you may not be after my review.
Sorry. Okay.
You <Yeah. laughs> didn't fall off the bandwagon. You just got on mine.
That's true. I just switched, didn't I? it's pretty cool, though, to see the cardio level. I love that. That is a neat option for this. I like that. So it's another thing to notify you, like when your heart rate goes too low or too high, and now you can get notified with your cardio level as well.
Yeah, I turned all mine on too. It's just interesting to see.
Nice. What else? macOS Big Sur is now at 11.1. So I feel like that's like they turned it up to 11.1.
Have you gotten off the beta?
I did turn it off. I don't think I've updated since.
Oh, okay. We still haven't upgraded all of ours.
Yeah, my laptop was the only one I was on beta. And I just recently realized I had updated different betas with it because it's on auto update. I'd forgotten to turn it off. So,
really?
So now I don't know if I've been updated with the latest and greatest. But it doesn't really say. When you look at what version of the software, it never said beta, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't. Really?
No.
It said the build, I think, somewhere in there.
Oh, it does say beta. I'm still in the beta.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, 11.1, but I'm on the beta. I should jump to the real thing. Yeah, that's not cool. But what we got with that is support for AirPods Max, of course, and then the Apple Store privacy labels. Those are now going to be available, which is basically a detailed report on what user data each app on the App Store can access.
Yeah, it's like a nutrition label.
It is. It's just like a nutrition label. And Apple's been getting some flack from certain companies about this. I think in particular Facebook, right?
Yes, certainly.
In fact, I saw today, I didn't put it in the show notes because we had so many already, Facebook put out a full-page ad in certain newspapers around the country talking about how bad this is. And I'm like, wait a minute. Facebook put out an old-fashioned print ad in a newspaper? A physical newspaper? That's that's like, I don't know, sending a message.
Four people saw.
Like sending a message to the past. I mean, I don't understand that. That's just a weird place to do it.
Yeah, I guess it goes to the online versions too, but that's going to be a demographic that's what, 50 and older, 45 and older.
You're probably right. Yeah,
yeah. So they want a rebellion of the people that don't want their data being seen. I don't know. It's kind
lawmakers,
of
lawmakers, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. They may be actually reading the actual paper.
Yeah.
But it's the same kind of argument that Facebook's been using that really doesn't really work with them, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I not to get off subject, but I think the next 3 to 5 years is going to be interesting for like Google and Facebook and all those guys. It's going to be interesting time.
Definitely.
You know, it really is. Information, data, and size.
I mean, with these privacy labels, let's put it this way. If you open an app and it says it wants to access your camera, you're going to say no.
Yeah.
Or wants to access Bluetooth. That's the one I've been seeing. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. Right. I'm sorry. This, you know, my weather app does not need, in my opinion, unless you tell me why, to access Bluetooth. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The two most, you know, I guess, caches of data is your contacts and your photos.
Yes.
Especially with, you know, and all the metadata associated with your photos, where you've been, who you shared it with.
Correct.
You know, location data is associated with it, but and then your contacts, obviously, they can then mine who you know, essentially.
And basically, Facebook needs both of those, don't they?
Right.
If you ever want to post a photo to Facebook, you have to turn that on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you ever want to contact anybody, although they don't need access to your contacts to do that, do they? That's just to make it easier for you.
It's just to make it easier.
Yeah. That side, they're doing it for you.
Yeah.
Not that they're doing anything with your data. I don't know. I think Google's a little more upfront about it because it's pretty obvious that they say, yeah, we're taking your data, but you're getting this for free. You're getting this map for free. You're getting this for free. Facebook, not so much. They haven't really told you what the value proposition is there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so yes, Big Sur 11.1 is out. So that's pretty much everything, including Apple TV. And there's a few tweaks to even the menus in Apple TV and how that works. I haven't really gotten into all those changes yet. But the big, big story here, though, too, is the Apple Fitness Plus being launched. And so far, the news has been pretty good from people overall. There's 180 workouts across 10 categories at launch. And I'm sure, Chris, you'll get into more detail on how this works.
I will.
Yeah,
I will.
And how that happens. But it has been rolled out. I did notice a lot of people talking about whether or not you have to have an Apple Watch. I don't think, and even though it asks initially, I think there's certain things you can do without it. You're not going to get all that data and metrics. But I think to initially set it up, you may have to have one. Not sure.
I think it does. Okay. Yeah, I think for the setup, they require both those.
Right.
But once it's all set up, you can certainly watch the videos on your phone and just ignore everything else if you want.
Right. You don't have to take advantage. Obviously, you get more value out of it if you do it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, yeah.
And I have to think that a majority of people, well, maybe not with the watch, but they're definitely in the Apple ecosystem already to be doing this at all. So anyway, that has been launched, and we'll get more detail on that from Chris here in a little bit. What other stories? The AirPod Max were in stores. If your store happened to be, well, I guess the stores were open. Some, even if they weren't open, you could actually order them and have them delivered from the store. On Tuesday, this past Tuesday, and yesterday, as a matter of fact. Apparently all those are sold out as well. So I checked the Houston stores Tuesday morning early. Nothing. There was no stock. So they probably sold out immediately. Yeah. And I'll do a more in-depth review of the AirPods Max here coming up. But there is one other thing, and I don't think we mentioned this last week. We may have or may not, but apparently a former Apple designer said that it took 4 years to develop the AirPods Max.
Mm-hmm.
At least four. It may have been more because this person apparently signed a non-disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And when the product shipped, he tweeted with a photo of the AirPods Max, the last product NDA I signed is finally out. And that tweet was immediately taken down. And Apple probably quickly reminded him of the fact that he's still under NDA because those are the NDAs are different. Some have a, you know, expire at a particular date. Some expire when the product is launched. If it's neither one of those, then it's just until they agree that it's no longer enforced, you know. So apparently he didn't have the permission to do that, but someone had asked him how long ago he signed it, and he said about 4 years ago. So he's in graphic design. So obviously there was a lot of engineering work done before that. So I'm thinking it was longer than 4 years. These have been in development.
It took 4 years to make that icon.
Yes, just the icon. You know, I'm not going to get into too much detail right now, but one of the weirdest things about this, it's one of the few Apple products, there's no Apple logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, really?
None. There's no logo anywhere.
There's no logos on any of the AirPods or anything like that, right?
I guess not.
Yeah.
Is there on the case, though, that they come in?
Nope.
The charging case? Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I guess you're right. All they have is the L and the R.
Yep. Oh, you know what they are.
That's weird. Yeah. That's weird, though, that just those products. I mean, even the charging brick has a little Apple logo printed on the inside down there.
But, it's a conspiracy.
Or the graphic designer didn't get his way. They didn't let him put the logo on there at all. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting that they took that long to go into production. So when Apple comes out with a new product like this, it's really the work of years and years.
Oh, absolutely.
And so many people working on it that their timelines and everything that's – I'd love to see that chart, you know, spreadsheet of what they have in the pipeline, you know, that's still to come because it takes so long to do it. But what else? We can just hit a couple of these things real quick. Speaking of chargers, Apple has confirmed that the 29-watt power adapter is incompatible with the MagSafe Duo charger. So they had some support documents. Somebody noticed this, and now Apple's confirmed it. Mm-hmm. So Apple's older 29-watt USB-C power adapter is not compatible with the MagSafe Duo because it does not support the necessary, power ratings for it. So if you do connect it to the MagSafe Duo, it is either going to charge just the phone or the Apple Watch, but not both of them at the same time. They discontinued this adapter in 2018 and have replaced it with a 30-watt version that is fully compatible with the MagSafe Duo. This is interesting because I'm gonna do a little rant here, but if I gave you a handful of Apple power adapters,
can you tell which one?
Could you tell me what watt was any of them?
I was just gonna ask you. They did not include pictures in this article.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay. Okay, well, the square one, I think, is a small one.
I've discovered the way to do this.
Uh-huh.
First, you need to get your phone out, turn on your camera, turn on magnification all the way up, and look at the bottom of the charger in the gray, light gray type on white in about 3-point type. It will tell you the voltage. And it doesn't tell you the wattage. It tells you a range. And if you multiply those two numbers, you get the wattage.
Mm.
The amount of amps and the amount of volts, I think. So if it's 5 volts to 3 amps, then it's a 15-watt charger. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to do the math.
I think I figured that out.
Right.
When I was trying, but it was a couple years ago I did that. I remember the hardest part was just seeing the numbers.
Exactly. And my point is, and Apple knows this, that it is now just confusion. Which one do you use with this? Which one do you use with that? They're forcing us to use our old ones because they're not giving us one that's made for that product anymore in the box. So how the heck would anybody know? And it got to the point where I got two of them. Did the math, figured out what they were, and I wrote it on the bottom of it. Whatever watt. This one's a 20 watt. This one's a 18 watt. Because now I know which one is which. So it's just, it's madness. Why is Apple doing this? It wouldn't be so bad if they put the wattage, you know, somewhere where you could read it as an actual wattage and not in these other things.
Yeah, and clearly identify it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm sitting here checking out all the power bricks I have. It looks like the ones that the USB-C ones that came with the iPad Pros last gen, I guess.
Yes.
Are 15.
Yes.
So that's the latest I have. And the ones prior to that are just 10. And then the little tiny ones for your phone a long time ago, I guess those are five, right?
Those are more of a square.
Yeah, those are the square ones.
And those are what, five?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I have no chargers that work with this thing.
Exactly. It's like, now I'm using a third-party adapter. I just pulled the plug off the one I had that I've been using, a third-party charging pad, and plugged this in, and it's charging both my watch and my phone on the Duo. So I'm assuming that charger is at least, you know, up to what Apple needs for that. I didn't even consider it because it didn't come with one. So, oh, Apple.
Well, I guess if you're doing something overnight, it's just a factor of time, right? The lower wattage is more time, and two devices would be more time. So overnight, you're okay, I guess, if you're patient. But like if you're trying to do something quick, it's not going to work.
Right. But in this case, if you plugged in, it wouldn't matter if it was overnight. You plug in the 29 watt one, you're going to have one dead device in the morning. Either your watch or your phone will charge, but not both. Hmm. So yeah, that's not good.
Is there a hierarchy? Does it know which one to charge?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's not good at all.
And then the other?
Is it what?
Would it charge one and then the other?
Perhaps, but I don't know. Depends on how dead they are, right?
Well, I think you ought to try, Tom. Put your 29 watt on there. Put both devices on at bedtime.
I don't know.
See if they're both charged in the morning.
I don't know if I have a 29 watt. I have to go digging around and get out the camera and look at them and do the math and... and figure it out because I have no idea.
Gosh.
Yeah. It's just, this is so insane that, and it wouldn't be an issue because I used to say to everybody, when you get a new device from Apple, like a new phone or whatever, mark it, mark the cable, mark the charger. So you know which, cause they all look the same. So you know which one came with that device and you know, it's going to work. Right. In other words, don't start swapping everything out because you don't know. Well, now they don't even include the charger and they're forcing us to figure it out for ourselves. Anyway.
You know, it's funny. I do that with everything except my Apple products.
I mark
the charger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm always losing them. And because an Apple charger, I know it's an Apple charger. The other ones, I'm like, what is this for? So I started writing them with a Sharpie and identifying them.
Yeah, that's what I did on the back of this. These other two, I marked it with a Sharpie, so I know which is which. But
oh, maybe that's a product, some kind of sticker. Oh, it's called stickers. Just buy some stickers and put them on.
There you go. But or someone's going to sell a device that it's like a power strip, right? That you plug your adapter into, and then it tells you through an app what wattage it is.
Ooh, how nice would that be?
Yeah. And then it comes with stickers, so you can just stick them on there. That's ridiculous.
There you go. That's a product, Tom.
Yeah, ridiculous that we have to do that or even think about it. Okay, what else is going on? Lots of little things. Boy, we got some futuristic stuff. Oh, this, I don't know if this goes anywhere, but it's kind of funny. Apparently, the CEO of Ferrari left the company last week, kind of for personal reasons, kind of suddenly, and... there's two people who have, I'm sure there's more, but at least two people who have emerged as possible successors. One of them is the current Apple chief financial officer, Luca Maestri, and the former chief design officer, Johnny Ive.
What?
Yes. Both being considered. Now, neither of them have said they would be interested in pursuing that, but that's the two names that have been bounced around so far.
An Englishman leading an Italian car company? I can't see it.
Well, Maestri, I wonder what he is. Is he British?
No.
Luca?
Luca sounds like an Italian name.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
And of course, the response from this story in the comments are hysterical. One had a Ferrari upside down with a cable plugged into it and said, this is how you're going to fuel the Ferrari if Johnny gets a hold of it. That's where the fuel cap will be. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Well, there's a lot of good. Actually, some people did some funny memes on that story.
Oh yeah, the fact that it would have no door handles whatsoever.
Yeah,
you couldn't get into it. Yeah, it's just funny stuff. Now, Johnny is a big car guy, though, right?
He is.
Yeah. So
British cars, though.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And then somebody else took a picture of a Ferrari and just stretched it to where they flattened it down to where it's super thin. Said, "Here's the first concept car." Yeah, it's pretty funny that either one of them would be considered for Ferrari. But
yeah, I saw this and I did the same thing you did. And then I looked at the first comment, and that's what I thought. It said, "Say what?" The first comment there.
Yeah.
Well, and I thought that's the first words I thought, especially Johnny Ive. But I don't know, you know, he would be a design guy, right? And Ferraris are known for that. And, you know, I watched Ford versus Ferrari. I know all about Ferrari now.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
That was a great movie.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was. Yeah.
But you have to wonder if the role wouldn't be better suited for them to just hire Johnny and his company Love From to design the new Ferrari. As a CEO, he didn't even want Apple CEO job, right? Mm. I mean, he left. Either that or he wanted it and they wouldn't give it to him, so he left. I don't know.
I mean, the types of decisions you have to make as a CEO are just, it's just 180 degree to what you do as a designer. I mean, they're tough decisions, right? So I don't know. Not that he couldn't make tough decisions, but it just seems like an odd match.
Yeah, I was about to say that once you become a CEO, you probably would never touch creative again. But then again, Steve Jobs was kind of the exception to that rule, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the exception to the rule.
Yeah, he really was. And if anybody knew how Steve worked, it'd be Johnny. But anyway, I think that's wishful thinking. I don't think either one of them will probably take the role. But we'll see. What else is going on? Oh, according to Bloomberg, Apple has started to develop its first cellular modem chip for future devices. Now, they bought for $1 billion Intel's modem division. Was that last year, I think?
Yeah,
2019. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're starting to put together something for that. That's pretty exciting. The fact that they're going to have...
Weaning up a Qualcomm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, didn't we read these stories about Qualcomm? Didn't they have some deal where they have to use Qualcomm chips for the next 8 years or something like that? 6 to 8 years. Or they have to at least pay the fee, licensing fee for that long. Maybe they get rid of the chips sooner and just continue to pay that fee.
Mm. They could. And you know, if it's 2 to 4 years to develop and they've had it a year or so, you know, it's still 2 or 3 years away, maybe. Mm-hmm. So it's not that daunting in the long run. And they had to make sure they were covered well enough out. So I can see how they could do that.
Right. I mean, with Apple Silicon and now this, the cellular, that's kind of the last piece of the puzzle, isn't it? Now, wouldn't they control everything in the phone now? Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be dependent on anyone. Or anyone else's development schedule, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
They've kind of been at the mercy of Intel and Qualcomm all this time. Although this brings up something that in a previous thing, I think we talked something about this and how difficult it is to do these chips because of all the different cell companies and the different requirements, you know, which is why everybody just uses Qualcomm chips, right? They're the ones willing to do all the painful work. It's like Steve Jobs, I think, had once someone had asked him about Blu-ray early when that was out, and he said his quote was, "Blu-ray is a bag of hurt." In other words, there's just too many ways to get in trouble diving into that technology, and that's kind of what I think of with these modem chips that. I think Steve would describe it the same way. Anyway, we'll see what happens there. What else is going on? How much do you think you've invested in Apple products over the years?
Oh, goodness. No. Stop counting.
Well,
I don't know, my Apple card will tell me now, but
that's true. We have a record now. That's kind of sad. CNN did this. I've seen this done before. but it hasn't been done lately. But they added up the cost of, as they call it, being an ultimate Apple fan. I call it just the cost of what if you bought the most maxed out device of everything that Apple sells?
Mm.
One of everything. What would it cost? So they went in and they did this where I guess they went in like for the phone. They got the most expensive phone. They added the Apple Care to it. They added a case to it. All that stuff. And they came up and the, you know, the MagSafe charger, the MagSafe case, your Apple Care Plus, the maxed out the memory, everything on the phone, $1,756. That's crazy. But that's what the ultimate Apple phone would go for. Then they did the watch.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I guess if you start $1,200 and then you add the memory.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And the Apple Care. And the case and the charger. Yeah. And the charging brick. They didn't put that in there. You're going to need one of those. Let's not forget that $30 cost.
Apple Care.
The Apple Watch they did, and it was, they said they picked, was it $14.99? What Apple Watch is $14.99?
The Hermes, maybe?
Oh, yes. You're right. Then they added Apple Care. And then they picked the most expensive band, which is the Hermes single tour deployment buckle. $1,648 is your total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For that. Then they did the MacBook. I think they maxed that thing out, the 16-inch one. Put a case. They got you something to carry it in. They gave you a numeric keypad. I mean, they threw everything in there you could possibly do. $9,016. The iPad with the Apple Care and the pencil and the magic keyboard and all of that, $2,588.
Yeah, that was scary when I saw it. I was like, oh my gosh.
They even did the iPod, which they still sell, $488. The AirPods Pro, the AirPods Max, the HomePod. But of course, when they did the Mac, they did the Mac Pro. Mm-hmm. And when you max out the Max Pro, with all the different graphics, extra cards, 1.5 terabytes of memory, the Afterburner card, the wheels. Throw in Final Cut Pro and Logic and Apple Care Plus and a Pro display with the display stand. Yeah. And the adapter, you're going to end up at $62,000.
Yeah, baby.
$571.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted two monitors.
Yeah.
All right.
Your birthday is just around the corner. Exactly. This is Christmas. All right. Just chillax.
So that's the majority of the number. The number they came up with, and by the way, they did Apple TV, they did the services, $79,875, almost $80,000.
Mm-hmm.
But a big chunk of that is that Mac Pro, obviously. Yeah. Yeah.
It's only $6,656, 12 payments.
There you go.
Yeah, you can do that, and you probably get almost $2,000 in cash back here.
Yeah, so. You get 3%, put it on the card.
Yeah. Well, when I saw the headline, first I thought it was wanting me to add up everything I've kind of bought. This is
right,
kinda,
right. No,
so and I did that, and it was I was like, holy crap. I'm not telling anyone I did that. Because I bought stuff for my parents over time, and obviously all your kids. Like I bought it for some of my employees at my small business. I'm like, I have spent a lot of money on Apple products. And by the way, I bought my first Apple product in 2014.
Oh, wow.
So I'm relatively new to Apple.
Yes, you are. So, wow. When was your first Apple product, Vincent?
That I bought myself?
Yeah.
Probably 2018. Yeah.
What?
Sorry, I'm old. 2008.
I was going to say, when, what? Really? You never owned a laptop or anything prior to that? No?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Okay. Shoot. Go back a little further. 1998. My God.
There you go. That sounds more like it. Okay.
Well, I did buy that Newton. That was Apple, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I did a Newton. And the first Apple products I ever bought, I bought, you know, my son a MacBook for high school. But I didn't count that because that wasn't for me. So that was back in 2009, I guess, maybe.
Unfortunately, from a financial standpoint, I beat both of you. I go back to 1985.
Yeah, I would assume that's a true statement. Yeah. I wasn't gonna even go down that path.
Yeah, the Mac came out in 84, and I think by that next year I got one and never looked back. But
yeah, I think I programmed Turtle or something like that on the Apple IIe back then.
Oh, we had so much fun with those first Macs. They were nothing like them.
Well, I worked for IBM for a long time, and you had the IBM computer, and then they were a beta for the BlackBerry, right? So I had a BlackBerry and a PC forever, right? That's and then when IBM opened up that you could get Macs and iPhones, that's when I started doing it.
Right. Yeah, people basically stay within the ecosystem they kind of start with, that they're comfortable with. And for me, fortunately, that was Apple early on. But it could have been, it could have been anything.
That's great.
Yeah, I do not want to add up what I've spent over the years.
It's scary. You don't want to tell your wife or anything.
I could probably ballpark it, but you know, when I think back, like in the early 90s, some of those Mac systems were $8,000 to $10,000. So it's hard to to think about all those different costs, because in a way they've come down in price.
Certainly.
Yeah. Let's see what else is happening.
But would you pay a subscription of $2,000 a month to get all of these things?
Oh,
I mean, that's about 36 months of payments, right?
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, wait, hold on. Are you talking about an upgrade program?
Exactly. An upgrade program, at least.
Oh my goodness. So I can get a new Mac Pro every year.
Exactly. Yeah, why not? $2,000 a month. That's all you need.
$2,000 a month. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. That's funny. We joke about that, but isn't Apple thinking
they're
about
working on it? I think so.
Yeah. They're talking about doing that. Mm-hmm. For their Macs, for their the Apple Watch, for lots of stuff, to do an upgrade program would be wow. Okay, what are the little stories we got going on here? Real quick, I don't know. Okay, we'll do this. Apple Watch hit 2.3 billion in sales, third quarter, accounting for half of all smartwatch shipments. So that's a 2% increase overall year to year.
That's incredible.
And they're saying, here's the part I found most surprising. China has surpassed North America in terms of shipments to become the market leader. North American market's been growing steady since the Series 4, according to this report. But China pulled ahead this quarter. Mm-hmm. They managed to edge it out. Because they say China, where the share of children smartwatches exceeds 70% in the past, is now witnessing a growth momentum in the normal smartwatch category. So in China, I guess it started out as a kid's thing and now it's moved on.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. That's huge.
Yeah, it's just dominating.
Mm-hmm. Tim Cook was talking about the future of the Apple Watch. I guess he was on this Outside Magazine, a podcast interview, to talk about health and fitness and the environment. I guess Apple Watch Series 6 and Apple Fitness Plus. And he said, talking about the future of the Apple Watch, Tim Cook said it is still in the early innings with the device, noting that the company is testing mind-blowing capabilities in its labs. Although not everything will see the light of day. Mm-hmm. He says, think about the amount of sensors in your car, and arguably your body is much more important than your car. Sounds like he's all in on more sensors for the watch.
Yeah, nano sensors. They have to be really, obviously, nano, like small.
Yeah, but
I think with any time to make the Apple Watch, you can wave it over your charger and find the wattage.
There you go. That'd be another sensor you could put in there. Yeah. He also talked about his love of nature, referring to the outdoors as a window to the world. He says the Apple Park has conference rooms named after U.S. national parks, noting that I am right around the corner from the Grand Canyon room. Okay. Yeah, we used to do that at the agency. We used to name the conference rooms really interesting things. Mm-hmm. So they're doing national parks. That's kind of boring, actually.
You think? I thought it was kind of cool.
There's only 45 or 46 of them, right?
Yeah. It's a finite number.
At the last place I worked at, with you, Vincent, we named them after famous TV shows or movies with ad based on ad agencies. So you had the conference room Bewitched, or you know, or the Mad Men conference room, or you know, something
Who's
like
the
that.
Boss?
Who's the Boss was that's right. Who's the Boss was one of them too. I remember that. Wow.
That's one hell of a trivia question, because I could have named one.
Yeah. But you know what we just said, right?
Yeah, but now you're rattling them off. I'm like, oh yeah, true. So I didn't
Yeah. I mean, but if you worked in the industry, you'd know.
Exactly. That's exactly. That's the big difference.
You'd know every one of them. I'm trying to remember what some of the others were, but you were there more recently than me, Vincent.
Oh, and it's been years.
That's been even longer for me. What else is going on here? Let's see. AliveCor. You remember that company?
Yeah.
They're still in business. They do EKG for that work with the iPhone. And so it's a real product, and they have patents for their technology. And in other words, according to this article, they're not a patent troll, but they are suing Apple over patent infringement, over three different patents that they say Apple has infringed on in their in the watch. So that'll be interesting to follow. That's a real loss. That's a real lawsuit there. It's not one of those fake ones
where
someone buys something and tries to make money out of it.
They list the patents in there, and you know the names of them, and there's not a lot of detail underneath each one of them. But again, it did say that they're not a patent troll, and you wonder where this is going to go, because that could be pretty lucrative if something happened against Apple.
Right. Yeah. And I do remember they came out about the time that Apple was developing some of that stuff also. So
right. That's true.
Like discordance monitoring. That's one of them, right? Is discordance like something's wrong kind of thing?
Not
discordance. I haven't used that word too many times.
Well,
I'm gonna look it up.
I think we even talked about the fact that maybe Apple was going to buy them at some point, right? Mm-hmm. We thought that would make sense, but apparently not. Speaking of patents, Apple won a bunch of them the other day, like 59 of them, covering all kinds of things. But in what's most interesting here is an Apple Watch with an under-display camera. That's pretty cool. A possible next-gen Apple Watch that could conceal a camera and a flash and accept Apple Pencil input.
That's cool.
And provide for...
I don't know about all these selfies, but I'm not a selfie person. I don't know how many people take pictures with their watches or want to.
Well, at first when it said camera, I thought, oh, Face ID. But then it said flash. And I'm like, you don't need a flash for Face ID. So that's taking the place of the camera band thing that we were talking about.
Yeah. Face ID require that near field, LIDAR thing.
Yes.
It eludes me at this point.
Well, and I'm not going to get into detail. I'll put a link in the show notes to this because it's just so technical, but it's pretty fascinating. The different layers and the different way it's done. It's like when it needs to do the camera, parts of the display change and allow the light to come through. It's really weird what they're doing. But anyway, that's a lot of patents.
It is.
And what else? There was one other thing. Maybe there was two. I can't even find them anymore. There's so many of these. I'm getting lost. Had to do with Tom Cruise. Here it is. There's a company called Magico, M-A-G-I-C-O. They've created an app that's in beta testing right now that will allow you to control your TV and basic things with just a gesture of your hand, like Tom Cruise did in Minority Report, the movie. And if you watch the video, it's pretty cool. I mean, and their big deal is, you know, without having to, you can throw away your old dirty remote control. Well, I don't know about that, but currently the app, I was going to sign up for this, but the app only works with Samsung smart TVs and Roku devices. And pretty soon they're going to have Amazon Fire TV, but not Apple TV, which if you're going to use an Apple Watch app, you think you might want to have that work with the Apple TV.
yeah, just a matter of time.
Yeah.
They'll do it.
So I'm not sure about testing this out. I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to sign up for this beta.
By the way, I like that a lot, and I think it'll be here soon. I think that's a great – I would love that.
I think it's cool. I think this is actually my funnest story this week. But, like, we thought about this whole thing for the longest time and, like, using it for like, you know, data mining and looking through reports. You get worn out if you're just waving your hand everywhere. People are just lazy. They just have a little button. You get, you know, you want to use your thumb to scroll through things and click things on your mouse. It takes an amazing amount of effort to go through. Like, I was thinking, you know, we could use this for PowerPoint presentations and stuff, but in the middle of the meeting you're waving your hands everywhere. It's just
well, it, you know, I will say Tom Cruise is in really good shape. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
So he's able to do all that and control things, even though this is beyond the movie. In the movie, he had to wear a special glove.
Right.
In this, it's just your hand, which is kind of like, this is similar to the watch band that is on Indiegogo and Kickstarter called Mudra. I've signed up for. I keep getting updates. They were supposed to ship this month. It's been delayed till March, unfortunately. But the Mudra band does this sort of thing, that you can do certain things with just your hand gesture because it's attached to your wrist and it knows the tendons and how certain ways you put your fingers together and move, it can read and then performs those functions. So... but this seems to do it without that, which is interesting.
Yeah, I guess the difference is the watch is on your body all the time.
Right.
I mean, slipping on the glove is still an external device doing it, but you don't usually carry a glove with you all the time, right? So that's a difference. It's kind of a part of your body now.
And I don't think he ever did it in the movie except when he was at work. I think there was a special setup.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
By the way, Google Tom Cruise. He had a little bit of a meltdown.
Oh, I saw that. He did.
He did some F-bombs out there.
Yeah, they were filming the latest Mission Impossible, which got shut down in March. And they got back to filming in, I don't know, July or something. Yeah. By putting all these special things in place for social distancing and masks. He had all these protocols put into place. And basically, we're going to be the model for how filmmakers could go forward to create movies during the pandemic. And some people were violating it, and he lost it. Mm-hmm. He was so upset that they're, you know, you're ruining it for everybody. It's not just this movie. It's for, you know, the entire industry is looking at us, you know. And he basically said, if you can't do this, you're fired. You're
fired. Yeah.
And the person released the audio of this or video, I don't know if it was video, thinking they would embarrass him, but I think he's gotten more support for it. I think it backfired. I think people are saying, good for you, you know, for doing that. So.
Oh yeah, he was obviously upset. And he threw the MF thing a couple times, which is, you know, tough to say, but I think it's supportive of him. Yeah. Definitely more supportive than negative.
Yes. So anyway, there's your Mission Impossible update for the week.
It is Mission Impossible 7, by the way.
Yes. And his other movie, his other movie, Maverick, the sequel to Top Gun, is still in limbo, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe out next year. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, moving on, the last, and I promise this is the last story we're going to talk about, is a new activity challenge from Apple. Ring in the New Year. It has finally been set. It's from January 7th through the January 31st, and it encourages you to close all three rings for 7 days in a row. And this is, I think, the third time they've done this challenge. and you get the medal and you get these little stickers. I love these stickers. These are great. These are fun. The little rings. Mm-hmm. I like the donut one jumping.
Oh, yeah. Why that donut? Which reminds me, this last weekend, it was 12-12. It was Krispy Kreme's dozen for a dollar a day. Ah.
Nice.
So, well, yes.
Well, I think the donut, because that's kind of what you resemble if you eat too many donuts. At least that's what I look like. And that's kind of funny. The sprinkles are jumping off as they're jumping rope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is kind of odd. Is it saying the story it's a donut, or are you just assuming it's a donut because it really looks like a donut? Maybe it's something else.
It's round and has sprinkles. What else could it be?
I know. I'm just saying, Tom.
I don't know.
Apparently it jump ropes too.
Yeah. You've also got the one at the bottom lifting weights, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's kind of cool.
Because I thought it had a headset on until I saw the meme at the bottom doing what it did, and it was jump roping.
And then you got one walking a small activity ring. It's like a pet, I guess. Yep. Kind of cute. I see a Pixar movie here in the works with these characters. So anyway, that's coming up January 7th through the 31st, and Apple Fitness Plus is the perfect time to do that. Perfect release date.
I think when they initially did this, they gave you 1 week to do it. Didn't they? And now they're giving you the 3 weeks. So I think that's a much better, because I remember there was one a couple years ago that was early February, and it was 7 days consecutive. And I thought it was over 1 week, and I missed it for some reason, which I rarely do.
No, I think you're right. There may have been something like that. I don't know if it was this challenge, but.
And maybe it wasn't.
But yeah, this is still, if you don't get started, I mean, if you miss 1 week, how many weeks do you have to do this in, actually?
The 9th to the 31st. So what is that, 3 weeks?
7th through the 31st. So it's
2 weeks. 3.5 weeks, actually.
You got 24 days.
Yeah. To do seven consecutive.
Within a 24-day period. So, if you wait too long, it's impossible.
You basically have 17 days to do it. In day 18, you're done.
Yeah, but if you do six and miss one, you start all over. It gets harder and harder if you miss one. So, anyway, that's the challenge. Great. All right. Speaking of activity, let's move on to what we like this week. Chris, why don't you kick it off?
Sure, Tom. So I did all the updates last night and did Fitness Plus. And when we were texting back and forth, setting up our show time and talking about all the changes this week or all the new things with Apple, I knew I was going to save today and try to do a Fitness Plus exercise. So I thought I would add that into my review. First of all, I'm not going to do a full-fledged review because there is so much on here. I could take an hour. I really could. But I'll just kind of go through kind of the structure of what you can do and then just give you a little feedback on once you set up and start the exercise and what your watch and the phone do together. So my first impression was two things about the people who do the exercises. Good for them. They've got an outlet of probably making some revenue in COVID time because they're doing exercises for Apple. And two, none of them are over 35. I'm being serious here. I think they should have some older people.
No, they do. So, they do.
Did they? I must have missed them.
Yeah, they do. They had some, I think someone I heard did a review of this. They said there were some other people in the background that you can pick your level or whatever. And there was someone that was kind of near 60 years old.
I think there's two people I think. Yeah. I don't think their ages are on here, but there's a guy named Greg Cook. And
any relation?
It could be. And then let me see the other one. Molly Fox. They're both probably my age or close to my age.
Okay.
And there's a couple other ones that look older, like another guy named Scott. They're relatively older. But for most of them, they're kind of young and fit and kick your butt. But anyway, so just to get started, the phone app, at the top has all the different types of exercises, HIIT, yoga, core, strength, treadmill, cycling, rowing, dance, and mindful cool down, which, by the way, mindful cool down is not as easy as you think it says. And then from there, you know, they have recommended exercises for the week. You have for beginners, and then you have popular exercise, all the trainers, and then simple and quick. These are all blocks that you can look at. I just went into I picked yoga because that's what I could do where I'm at. Everything else I needed, you know, I didn't want to try something too hard. I picked yoga. I added it to my favorites, and it's Core with Kyle. 10-minute throwback hits. That's what I did. And as I said before the show started, Tom, Core with Kyle kicked Chris's ass. That's all I got to say. And I go to gym. I go to gym 25 days a month, and I do basically, you know, elliptical machine and some core work. And I thought, oh, I can handle this. Nah, I mean, I need a trainer. That's what I first worked out. But anyway, there's so much content on here. It's really good. You can pick your trainer. You can pick what you want to do from intensity level. You have all the different fitness exercises. And then the cool thing is, you know, I'll hit core with Kyle, and you could do a preview, and they talk about, you know, what he's going to do. It's like 30 seconds. You can join Kyle's Instagram if you'd like. Mm-hmm. There's a link to the Instagram pages, so you can, you know, link right up to him. There's recommended music that we'll probably download for you if you don't have it. There's related workouts, but I just said, let's go. So I'm hitting let's go, and Core with Kyle comes up, and it immediately launches. So what happens, you get it launches on your watch and your phone, and you can hit the arrow on either device, and it launches right in. And the it looks like you're exercising on your watch like you typically do, although there's new icons. And then on your phone in the upper left is like a screenshot of your watch face, and that's where all the activity happens. And now Kyle's talking to me about what he's going to do. And the upper right-hand corner is your activity rings. So you can see where you are in your activity rings real time, which is kind of cool. So you can see him kind of working as you're working. And then there's another ring in the upper left that kind of shows you the time that's left. You know, the ring is being filled by time.
Right.
So I'm at 35 seconds, and I'm, you know, you can see how long the exercise is going to take. And then you jump right in. And as you're doing it, all your vitals are on the phone as well as your watch, and it tracks it like everything else. It's the workout app, so you can swipe right to stop and go with the video. You can swipe left to stop and go with the exercise. You can add a new exercise. So very, very, very slick. So if you're really committed, when you're done, you can hit a mindful. It gives you all the vitals of your exercise. You can share it, so I can send it to you, Tom, and say, hey, look what I did today. Try to beat that. And then you can also go right into mindful cooldown. And there's different mindful cooldowns. Some were kind of relaxing and easy and that I looked at. Some were a little bit more intense. But for the most part, for the age of my body, there's a couple I would do versus the other ones. So you say done, and it registers all your exercise and takes you back. So anyway, this is my first impression. I think that it's kind of a initial overview versus a deep review, but I'm telling you, if you have a nice workout spot in your house, and you want to put the time in, this is it. This is really slick. And so I'm very impressed with it,
especially for the cost. It's
It
beats any gym membership cost
easily. Yeah.
But you also have aren't you competing against everybody else who's doing this?
Yeah, there's kind of a burn bar, it's called.
Yeah.
That kind of, you can kind of see where you fit into other people that have done the exercises. But
it's not by age group or anything like that. So if you're in the front of the pack, you're in front of everybody, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Wow. Yes. That's hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't have a burn bar on mine today. I don't know if it's a setting or I have to do so many of them or. But the burn bar is out there, and you can kind of see. Anyway, and then the weirdest thing, I was going to ask you guys about it on the Fitness Plus app on your phone. My iPhone picture's in there. Mine's a bald eagle, right? So I hit the bald eagle that says redeem a gift card, send a gift card. So I'm thinking, what a weird thing to have. You can hit your account and send a gift card or redeem a gift card. So I guess there's something in here that connects the dots. So I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, it was really weird. But highly recommended. I think I'm going to take this seriously. Or I'm going to try to do some of these things, because I've been doing the same thing at the gym for a long time. Since I couldn't run anymore,
right.
I've been doing the same thing. And I could tell right away after a minute of doing core that I need to change my exercise routine a little bit, because I'm getting kind of stale. And I'm not going to focus so much on steps anymore. I'm going to focus more on what I do, because I'm also obsessed with getting my steps ring done every day that it kind of drives me to what I do. So anyway,
yeah,
it's going to change my behavior a little bit. I'm impressed, and I'll probably end up going the Apple One fully loaded with this.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of in the same boat as far as getting – you get bored with your routines, right? I mean, it's mm-hmm. part of the reason I probably haven't been doing anything lately is I just get kind of bored with it. I need something to get more excited about this. And these look great. I mean, you have beginner stuff too in here. So maybe,
yeah, there's beginner stuff for beginners, and there's videos. Like I said, there's so much content in here. It is overwhelming. You can read about the trainers and everything they've done. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of nice beginning exercises in here that will do it. Absolute beginner yoga with Dustin, you know, mm-hmm. so absolute beginner core with Sam, you know, so that's probably what I should have started with.
Well, it's amazing how these things, you're right. No, it doesn't matter how good a shape you're in. Some of these will kick your butt. And it reminds me of a long time ago, when I was doing 2 or 3 marathons a year, okay, that was in my marathon craze. So I was definitely in shape for running. And I did a treadmill workout with that was you bought it on iTunes, and it was with what was the band? Okay Go. Mm-hmm. And because they did a music video on treadmills, so they put this whole thing together. It's kind of a marketing thing, but they talked you through it, and they played their music, and they told you how fast to go for this and this and this, and it's just the way it was structured wiped me out. I mean, at the end of that thing, I was like, oh my gosh, I could not stand practically trying to keep up with it all. And it was fun. It was a ton of fun. So I imagine some of this would be like that you just, pushes you.
It did. And when I was done today, and I'm not at my home, I'm actually up visiting my mom and stepdad. So I did it in a room they have at their house, and I came down and they're like, you look like you worked out a little harder. I'm like, I did for like 5 minutes, you know, and it is something else. And I'm sore. I'm actually sore from doing that. And that just means I'm getting to your point that it did motivate me. I'm ready to really try some new things now.
That's great. I can't wait. And yet I'm going to put this off. So
yeah, don't do it
at the same time. All right.
Don't do it.
All right.
Do it.
Vincent, what do you like this week?
I guess I have a follow-up in my last one I liked when I signed up for the one. So I switched over to the Premier, whatever the ultimate package here. And previously, in order to sign up for it, you went to the Apple Store, is where it showed up like for you in terms of recommendations. And I only added the middle tier, the family plan at $19.95. which includes the music, the Apple TV, arcade, which is already, those are the three I had already subscribed to.
Right.
And then I didn't realize this, it's one letter off. So the middle tier has 200 gigabytes of iCloud storage. So I was already paying $10 a month for 2 terabytes of iCloud storage. So in total, I had 2.2 gigabytes of iCloud storage.
Added it to it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, 2.2 terabytes. And so when I went to the Premier plan to pick up fitness, now I have News Plus also, which is amazing, by the way. Mm-hmm. It was always the good stories, right? When you click on it, you're like, oh, yeah, it's it. And then, but I subscribed to the Chronicle.
Exactly.
And then I started reading some magazine articles, which is pretty neat that I miss magazine articles.
Right.
Some long reads. But this plan has 2 terabytes of iCloud storage included, so you get 1.8 terabytes of extra iCloud storage for this $10 as well. So in total, I came out on top with more news and fitness for the same amount that I was paying for the $19.95 plus the extra 2 terabytes, right? So same amount of money being spent. My question was, as soon as I clicked upgrade, I had just paid for the 1995 plan and as well as the 2 terabyte plan just last month, the end of last month, and on the 30th. So as soon as I hit upgrade, it charged my card for $30. So I'm like, wait, so I just paid, you know, again, right, for storage. But, you know, if you go into your Apple Wallet and you look at the card and you look at the charges, it actually refunds you the previous one. So upgrade away.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
Right. So no worries. They upgraded. They refunded me for the 2 terabytes, and they refunded me for the 1995. So we're all square there.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. So it definitely a nice little perk that they took care of me. Didn't have to do that. However, the one thing you do for you give up. I do have Apple TV free until March.
Right.
Technically, because I bought a laptop, and then I had, you know, the Apple Fitness. If you wanted to try it, it's actually three months free.
Right. Right.
But as soon as you pay for it, you waive all the free stuff.
Yeah, but in the long run, you'll still come out ahead.
Right.
So
yeah. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to reading more news and hopefully getting my exercise on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I will be in Chris's world.
I'm not sure on that whole subscription thing whether I was already paying for the 2 terabytes.
Mm-hmm.
Does this add more or not? I guess not.
If you switch over, it doesn't. It just swaps the 2 terabytes out into one.
So there's still no way to get more than 2.
You can get the 1, and then you can go back in and buy an extra 2 terabytes if you want, and it will add it to 4. You can go to your profile.
Oh, really?
And and go to iCloud.
Okay.
And subscribe to more.
Well, that's good to know. I'm not.
$10?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 10 a month or something.
Yeah. Choose individual services. Yeah.
I'm not close to running out yet, but it's just something I've been kind of in the back of my mind wondering about. I ever did, because I'm putting everything in there, you know. I'm putting a lot of stuff in there. It's still not full, but, you know, it's like, okay, how long can this last if they don't upgrade the amount you can get, you know?
Right. Yeah, you go to your Apple ID, iCloud, and then manage storage. So it's hidden under there. And then it'll actually give you an option to change the storage plan. And it'll tell you that if you choose a $9.99 per month, 2 terabyte, it'll be a total of 4 terabytes.
Wow. Okay. That's good to know. Yep. I like that. All right. Well, no surprise. What I like this week is actually what I'm using right now as we record this. And that is the new Apple AirPods Max over-the-ear headphones. Now, I'm sure you've probably seen by now all the unboxing videos online, so I won't go into that, really. And there's been a lot of reviews from folks who received them early and from, like, the audiophile crowd. And now, I am not an audiophile. I love music, but I have never owned, like, a expensive high-end stereo system. I also have never had what they call studio level headphones, which are super expensive, thousands of dollars to get the best reference sound for production. In fact, this is the most I have ever spent on a pair of headphones or speakers ever. So, I mean, prior to that would have been the HomePod, right? So I'm not going to review this in comparison to those super high-end products. And I don't think that is really what the AirPods Max are supposed to compete with. I mentioned this to Chris earlier, but YouTuber Marques Brownlee, he did an excellent review of these. He also did an unboxing video. But when in his review, he said that the AirPods Max fall into what he calls the luxury listening category. Not the lower end or the higher end, but kind of in between. And I really agree with that. Once he said it, he put it into words that I couldn't express kind of what I was thinking about these. He did it brilliantly. These are unique, and I think Apple spent a lot of time, as we said, over 4 years developing these, so they knew exactly the goal they were trying to reach. So everyone who's complaining about the price of $550 being so much more than other noise-canceling headphones, which are about $350, but I don't think Apple was trying to make those. I think they were aiming higher, and they were kind of setting the bar higher for what luxury listening should be, okay? The build quality on these is ridiculous. These are all metal, okay? The aluminum cups, which, by the way, when I opened the box from these, they were, you know, they were outside in a truck, obviously. Super cold to the touch because of the amount of surface, and it's just aluminum. They were very cold. Anyway, all the way to the metal adjustable head frame, and the precision machining and engineering of this is just amazing. Now, almost all other headphones, unless you get into the thousands and thousands of dollar range, are made of plastic. And the reason they do that, not only because it's cheaper, but because it makes them lighter, right? You don't want something super heavy. These headphones are heavier than most, but they have this mesh kind of headrest on the top. And between that and the foam cups, you really don't feel how heavy they are when you wear them. Mm. They fit very comfortably over your ears. And after wearing them for, first got them out of the box, wore them for like a few hours in a row, it was not uncomfortable. There was no pain on my ears or my neck or head. I didn't feel like my head was in a vise or anything like that. And it's weird because they feel heavy, but not uncomfortably so. I don't know if that makes any sense. But the fact that they're heavy makes you realize how well made they actually are. I don't know why, the little scenes from movies keep popping in my head when I think about these things, but in the original Jurassic Park movie, mm-hmm. in the car, when the kids were trapped in there with the lawyer, right? And the kid finds this case and it's got these binoculars in it. And the lawyer asks him, he goes, "Are those heavy?" And the kid says, "Yes." And he goes, "Then they're expensive. Put them back." So, the same thing here. It's just like the weight makes them feel solid and well built. The controls on these are amazing. It's just like the Apple Watch. You only have a single button and a digital crown. So this is not a touch thing. And I think that would have been a mistake to make these touch. It's so much nicer to have a tactile button and that crown that you turn. Now, the crown controls the volume and it has this really pleasant clicking sound as you turn it. It's almost like the dial on a safe, right? You hear all those little clicks. And if you press the crown once to play or pause, you double press it to skip forward and you triple press it to skip back. Very simple. You press and hold it to activate Siri. What they're calling this, I guess, the noise control button, the other one, switches between active noise cancellation and transparency mode, which, by the way, both of these modes are better than the AirPods Pro, in my opinion. The noise cancellation is incredible, and the transparency seems to pick up more than the AirPods Pro do from all around you. You can hear things behind you, in front of you. It's just, I think it's the way it's designed, and they're bigger. Just makes them better. Now, the sound quality, what everybody's asking about. As I said, I'm not an audiophile. I've never had, over-the-top equipment. And I have, just like all of us, slowly gotten used to listening to lower quality music in our life as everything became digital and wireless. But these are by far the best sounding headphones I have ever heard. I listen to a wide range of music, from old to new. I listen to older songs that I knew had incredible mixes in them where sound goes from one ear to the other, that sort of thing, as well as, old favorites. And it was like hearing some of these for the first time again, because I'm listening to these songs that I've heard thousands and thousands of times, and I'm hearing it so clear and crisp. It's just, I'm listening to it with a big smile on my face. I absolutely love it. Now, another feature of these is the removable ear cups. Okay. And they're brilliantly designed. They connect magnetically. So they're super easy to replace, which is wonderful with an expensive set of headphones like this, because the part that touches your skin the most will probably need to be replaced over time, right? That would fall apart. I think we mentioned last week, you can get replacement cups for these. I think they're $69. I don't know if they're available yet, but they will be. And you can get them in different colors. So the fact that you can do that, I think you can give your headphones like an upgrade. And just like the watch and the bands, right? So the ear cups are kind of the watch bands of the AirPods Max. Maybe they'll come out with different colors down the road to match the new iPhone and iPad colors as that changes. I can see that kind of being a thing.
Now, oh my God, it's another watch band thing for you.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. What color cups am I going to wear today on the headphones?
Leather ones. Oh my gosh.
And now, there's a couple of little dings about this. One is, and it's not that big a deal, but it charges via lightning port. It's on the bottom, and you get a lightning to USB-C cable included. Don't know why they didn't just go to USB-C on this device. And it's kind of strange to still be lightning, but that's what it is. Again, there's no adapter in the box, so you're going to need your own. So I also ordered a lightning to 3.5 millimeter audio cable, which allows me to use these as wired headphones, which is what I'm doing right now.
You have this from Apple?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
It's recommended when you put it in the cart. You may also like.
That's right.
Now it's kind of a niche use case, but for example, this Rodecaster that I'm using, this control board that we use to record our show, does not support Bluetooth for headphone monitoring. It's hardwired only. You have to plug in headsets. So I can now use, the Rodecaster with these new headphones by having this cable. I haven't tried this cable plugging in anything else because I really can't think of anything else with a headphone jack I can plug into right now, unless I pull out an old iPhone. Maybe I'll do that. The other not so great thing is the infamous case that comes with these headphones. It's a bit of a weird design, and I'm not sure what the thinking was here. Because usually you can tell when you get an Apple product, once you use it, you realize, oh, that's why it's that way. I haven't gotten that revelation yet. It closes with like a magnetic catch, and it puts the headphones instantly to sleep, which saves battery. And that's probably the only reason to use it, because it really won't protect them that much at all, especially the mesh headpiece at the top isn't covered at all with the case. If you throw that in a bag, that's kind of vulnerable to whatever it hits. The material of this case is like a very nice soft leather. I'd love to have a watch band made out of it. It's kind of like the MagSafe Duo material. But again, this is the only real thing about the headphones that made me think that, maybe Johnny Ive, did he not design this, or or was this one of the one weird things he did before he left? I don't know. It's a big question mark on this one. So it's kind of, I don't want to say useless. I mean, I do put them in it, but I don't know. We'll see.
Definitely an opportunity for other case makers.
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah. To get more of a hard case that fits the whole thing in there. I'd buy that in a heartbeat for these, especially for the price you pay for them, right?
And you have to charge them to the lightning, right?
Yes.
No wireless.
Exactly. And and that's one thing I thought was, now speaking of the battery, I'll get into the battery life on this because it is fantastic. Apple claims 20 hours of listening, movie watching, or talk time with these. When I got them, I noticed on my phone when it popped up, that instant magical pairing, which is really cool. It was at 68% battery when I received them. And immediately put them on. I was listening to stuff for a little over 2 hours. Looked at it, it was at 53%. So I've used 15% in 2 hours. So that's about 20 hours per charge. So it's pretty much right on with Apple, what they said. Now, I don't know if over time that'll degrade like any battery. It probably will. But, you know, with, like you said, Vincent, with Apple's kind of recent fascination with magnetic charging, I'm surprised that these were still wired when they announced them. I thought these would be magnetically charged too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe they will be down the road. I don't know. But right now it seems weird to plug them in because I don't plug anything in now. Yeah. I drop my watch on a magnetic charger. I drop my phone on a magnetic charger. My old iPad is the only thing I still plug in, but.
Yeah, same here.
Yep.
By the way, that magical pairing, when you just like put near your phone, I guess, for the first time, mm-hmm. and it shows up on all your devices, just like any other, like Apple AirPods Pro would. I use them while playing music directly from the Apple Watch. That's one of the first things I did too. And it just blew my mind that this little tiny device on my wrist was powering the sound I was hearing coming from these speakers. And I was like, all it takes wow, these days. Just yeah. wow that yeah. your watch could do that. That, oh man, that really blew me away. Overall, I feel these are well worth the cost. I mean, if you think $550 is ridiculous for headphones, these are not for you. And there's many, many other less expensive options from third parties or even Apple that will work just great. I took a chance on these. As we said, I bought them sound unheard. And I am not disappointed at all. It's one of those Apple devices that makes me smile every time I use it, right? Hmm. Sort of like the watch was when it first released. And maybe that's because there's so much borrowed here from the watch. In the basic design of it, the crown button, the shape, it reminds me so much of the watch. It's just a genuine pleasure to use these. And that's why I say for me, it was worth the cost, especially this year. I'll take all the small moments of fun anywhere I can get them, right? To me, that is worth it. But there's just so much to talk about with these, but that's my early review after just having them for, I don't know, less than 24 or 48 hours, less than 2 days worth of listening. To me, well worth it.
Yeah. We'll have to do follow up. Go ahead, Vincent.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, in a couple of years, they'll go down in price. They're going to be huge, for everyone. It's going to be mainstream at that point.
Well, it makes me wonder where these fall in Apple's grand plan. Mm-hmm. Is there another set coming that they will call Studio that's even higher than this? Are these the sport model, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like they did with the AirPods. First, they had the basic ones, and then they had the Pro version. Right. I got to wonder, maybe because these are in colors, that these are the sport version, and there might be something even wilder coming. But it is so obvious that they've had this plan for music and AirPods. And I have to also ask this question. Is this the beginning of the end for Beats?
I think so. I would imagine so, yeah.
Because after you listen to these, I don't know why you buy Beats.
Mm. Yeah.
At all.
Do you think they embedded technology from Beats into those, and that's why they bought them? Or they?
Yeah, all along they've. It's very obvious if you look at their acquisition of Beats, and their just the way Apple has done audio since then in everything from the HomePod to their. The speakers in their new laptops and computers to now this. Yeah, definitely. That's part of the reason they bought them, I think. And this is that transformation. But I got to wonder about Beats down the road, at least.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they'll, as they do more products, they'll name one after the Beats just to keep the name going or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
But you've mentioned it a couple of times in previous shows that you thought Beats might be on the back end of their life cycle because of Apple.
Well, I think this just kind of proves that. I mean, I guess it'll determine how popular these are. I know they're sold out, but that's just because it's new. You know, what kind of staying power does this have? Is it going to be like you said, Vincent, like the AirPods Pro? Who knows?
I can't imagine them not milking this, but
I
had a quick question.
Sure.
I'm assuming that the live listen functionality that works with the AirPods Pro will work with these as well. It'd be kind of interesting. I mean, it has a little mic on there as well, right? I mean, it will just broadcast in.
Oh, you mean transparency mode?
No, the live listen, you know, you can use your phone as a mic I guess it would. I don't see any reason why I wouldn't.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I would imagine you could. I haven't tried that. Didn't even think about that.
Yeah, why not? If they're connected devices, right?
It's the same chip and it's the same tech. It's literally same tech, the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine it would.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I also got an email here real quick, since we're already way over time. this is from Richard sent me an email today, as a matter of fact, with a quick AirPods Max review. And he reviewed this. He said, currently I own these Sennheiser HD660S and the Bose QC35 and the Bowers & Wilkins PX7. What is with these names? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, these companies. along with many minor sets of various types, these are my thoughts after having the AirPods Max for 21 hours. And he just gives bullet points of each one. So the Bose, he goes through, this is very thorough, Richard, by the way, design, quality, noise cancellation, transparency, Bluetooth pairing and syncing, quality control, case and accessories, charging, and an overall rating. And I won't go through all these, but the Bose, he gave an overall rating of 2.7. I guess that's out of 5. And the Bowers and Wilkins, he had a lot of detail on that. But overall, let's see. I don't see an overall number on that. It's much better. Much better than the Bose. And then he does the AirPods Max, and he says, remember, I've had them less than 24 hours. Overall, 5 in every single category. He is blown away by these. He's listing on the design how they look. It does this. It's got this. The ear cups are larger than the Bose. And another thing I like, and then one bullet point is be jealous. he says on sound quality, he says, OMG, take me to heaven and back with a free lifetime pass for return trips in my pocket. He said, Bose is not even in the ballpark. B&W hit it to second base. The AirPods knocked it to outer space, hitting the staff, holding the flag planted by Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong.
Wow.
He said they sound better than my Sennheiser, which are wired headphones. Mm-hmm. And then he says they cost how much? Who the heck cares?
Wow.
Yeah. And then under noise cancellation, he talks about, and I, again, am blown away, but I even texted that to you guys, how great the noise cancellation was. The last bullet point on that is sell everything else, buy these. so I think he liked these. He
checks
just,
in the mail.
Yeah. He's in love with them, just like me. So
wow, that's got a lot crazy. The QC35s on the Boses are like premier, right? I mean, that's their top of the line.
That is, yeah. This is Apple's. Apple spent some time on this. Like I said, they did their homework. They knew what the competition was. So,
well, Richard has a lot of headphone devices. So I don't know if he's a musician or what he does, but you kind of have to believe his review because he's got a lot. It sounds like a lot of experience.
Yeah, there's a ton of detail in here.
Yeah,
and things I didn't know, like the Bose, you have to have a special app to pair it to certain devices. You have to have Bose Connect.
Oh, you're kidding me?
No. And if it gets
a whole extra step.
Yeah, if it gets disconnected, you got to reinstall it and do it again.
Oh, Lord, that's no good.
Yeah, it's used to basically share the Wi-Fi password with a thing. I mean, sorry, the Bluetooth connection. Yeah,
and that's another thing with Apple and being in the ecosystem. Everything works together instantly. I didn't do anything. I just set it next to my phone and said tap go, and now it's on every device I have. So
that's true.
Could you run
every device? That's
I'm sorry, what?
No, go ahead, Vincent. No, I was just going to ask, can you run in them?
You could, but...
So it's set up...
Go ahead.
Let's say, because, when I used to run all the time, I always had the problem with the AirPods because they would kind of flop around in my ears. And then the AirPods Pro were a little better, and they're still good, but I wonder if these are... You can run with your watch in your AirPods Studio, and can you run and be effective with it?
I think you could, but there is zero water tolerance on these, moisture.
Mm-hmm.
These are not for the rain. These are not for sweat.
That's okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I wouldn't run recommend in the rain, it.
But sweat. Yeah, you're right.
Even though you can replace the ear cups, I wouldn't recommend it. Unlike other Apple devices, these have no rating at all for water resistance. So as far as them being too heavy and bouncing on your head, I haven't tried that, but I bet they'd stay in place pretty good. And I have to say, I'm wearing these with glasses too, which made me worry that it, you know, permanently imprint my glasses on my face, but they don't squeeze your head like a vise, you know, because of that. It's just the way they're designed. It's just, I can't explain it. It's kind of like the first time you listen to the AirPod Pros, you had to listen to it to really explain it to someone, right? They had to hear it to get it. I think it's the same thing with these. But anyway, thank you for your email, Richard. That was very helpful and very timely. So,
when does the AirPod Studio podcast start, Tom?
The AirPods Max podcast?
Yeah.
The studio podcast.
There you go. In the studio upstairs.
From Tom's studio.
Exactly.
Houston, Texas.
Is there anything else before we wonder if we can sleep in these AirPod Maxes?
Oh, my God. I was just thinking of that. Because Bose does make ones where you sleep in
them. Do they really?
Because, they do. They're for sleeping. You're blocking out all your sound and all that stuff.
But nice. These don't have a sleep mode, but I imagine that would work. all right. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce the show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe. And until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.